She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
All of a sudden, the lights go down and it starts to get naughty.
I think we covered all that was important.
I got over, like, that whole blushing phase.
A man was speaking, so I, of course, stopped listening. Season 9.
Episode 2,
because we actually filmed already the first episode with Christy Boyce, which
was awesome. But lots of summer stuff has been happening since then.
Yeah.
Like, we're still, like, in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, really heavy. I'm sorry, I can't stop looking at that shirt color and your skin tone and your fresh hair. Like,
thank you. I got my hair done yesterday, yeah.
It's like the whole blend. It's like spectacular. I love that shirt. What's it say? I read
banned books. This is actually one of the shirts from our new sponsors.
Fuck yeah!
Carpe Librum.
Hashtag no longer not sponsored.
Hashtag not sponsored. Hashtag sponsored. So anyway, this is Carpe Librum. Their website is beawesomereadbooks.com, and we'll have it below. But I love this color too. And this is actually, I bought this one when we were in Columbus. But I bought two shirts from Carpe Librum at the Virginia Library Association annual conference last year. And I loved, like, the font kind of reminded me of, like, a typewriter.
That's what draws me to it. Like, it's really gritty.
Yeah.
I feel like an old writer. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Tink! I know.
Tink! That's what I want.
Yeah. So,
but, like, is it thick or is it, like, thin?
It's one of those, like, those canvas shirts, you know?
Like, those, like, the nice soft texture.
Yeah, the Bella Canvas ones. And it doesn't shrink. Thank you very much. Because I have t-shirts I can't dry because they shrink. And they have inclusive sizes.
Tickle bitties. So if my shirt shrinks, I'm screwed.
Yeah, they have inclusive sizes. So I think, this is a 2XL. This is a 2XL. I think they go up to 4XL. But you know
Fuck
what? Give me one second.
Carpe Librum. Fuck yeah. My shirt is also new.
Yeah? Where'd you get your shirt?
Nurse Katie's sister made it for me.
Oh my gosh, you're collecting people from Katie's family now.
Of course I am. Of course I am. So Sarah and I have become social media friends, as one does. Mm-hmm. And her and I have a lot of common interests. We both are, you know, have invisible illnesses. We're both gardeners. Like, there's just a lot of layover. So Katie introduced us a long time ago. Well, Sarah and I have become parasocial friendship. I guess it's real friendship now. Since she sent me a tie-dye t-shirt she made. She made this just for me.
Yeah.
She made this just for me. And I screamed like a schoolgirl when I opened it. Because this color green right here is like, most people hate it, right? It's my favorite.
It kind of looks like baby poop.
Baby poop. Shh, don't ruin it. It's beautiful. Anyway, sorry. Back to Carpe Librum.
Speaking of, So these shirts go up to size 4XL.
Hell yeah.
And they don't shrink. I love them.
Hell yeah.
So I connected with them at Virginia Library Association. We ran into them again in Columbus. And they are fans of the podcast. listeners to the podcast.
I remember
running
across
them. It's like
a
perfect marriage.
I remember running across them and then being like, yeah, we know y'all. And the next thing you know, they were stopping us as we were trying to run away.
yeah so
I love
it's kind of the perfect marriage.
It is well because of you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Well, we will have more information about this below in case you forget, but from now until the end of September you can get free shipping on their website by using the code
Hello Besties,
which Tom will put right here.
I love saying that. Hello besties.
Speaking of having shirts made, we made Matt Dinneman a shirt and he got it.
He finally got it?
Yeah, he sent me an email.
I'm blushing a little bit still. Oh my God.
He sent me an email with the shirt, but it was only the front. So I didn't get to see the back, which we had, Crawler Matt put on it and then Honorary Book Bestie.
And I love that.
I asked him when he wears it for the first time, take a picture or post it to his social media and tag us, either one. It would be better if he took the picture. But
Oh my God.
Matt Dinneman is officially an honorary book bestie.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I got over like that whole blushing phase because I only blush when I'm like really enamored by somebody. But I got over that in Ohio. Like I was harassing him by the end, by Sunday, right? And mm-hmm. I even took Nurse Katie to him because I was worried about his health, right? And now I'm blushing again. What the hell? But
I mean, out of the two of us, you're not the one that propositioned him to go back to his hotel room. So
valid. Valid. But so
he was accident.
It was an accident.
It's not what I was trying to do.
He was okay, but here's the thing, little gossip. He was telling me about his wife, mm-hmm. and I was like, and his kids, and because like we were like getting to know each other, right? So the nosy person I am, I Google later. His wife is fucking hot. Like, he has a hot-ass wife. Hot-ass wife. Good up, Matt Dinneman.
That's a new level of stalking that you don't
It's on his Instagram. It's on his Instagram. I just Googled Matt Dinneman wife, and it pulled up his Insta. So, you know.
That's fair.
But she's fucking hot, man. I want a hot wife. I have a hot husband. I just need a hot wife now. I don't know how the husband.
You can't have both. That's the way of the world.
You can't have two wives. It's the way of the world.
Why? I don't know.
Why?
Oh my God.
Okay.
So,
our summer has been sending hippo memes to each other.
That's every summer for me. I just want all the hippo memes. I'm currently reading Zomromcom and by our friend Olivia Dade, which here's the cover.
I'm still only 5 minutes in because my house won't leave me alone.
I'm on chapter 10, and that's supposed to be the last Smut Girl Summer book, so hopefully I finish it before this episode comes out. I just me got too. Promoted.
I know!
Which is really cool.
She's like a big kid now, guys.
Yeah, so now I'm no longer a children's librarian. I'm actually managing the branch, which is really cool. And I have an Olivia Dade story that must be shared on this podcast.
Please. And then I have something to tell you.
Okay. Do you want to go first? Because you already know my news.
I know your story. I want to share this story with the friends.
Okay. So here's what happened. So there's a woman who's in my book club because I run a romance book club at the bookstore. Yeah. Library where I work.
Yeah, she switched jobs. She runs a bookstore, not a library anymore, guys. Catch up.
Anyway, so I run a romance book club, and this woman, I introduced her to Olivia's books because I was like,
as one does.
She's my favorite. Emma Berry had come and done a program at my library.
Fucking love Emma.
Emma mentioned Olivia in her presentation, and I was telling this woman about Olivia. So Olivia just had her first tour ever, which is insane to me because these are all her books. How is this her first tour? But
Prime this Norwegian.
First tour ever. And she doesn't live in the States, so I think that's probably part of it. Like, it isn't easy for her to travel here. Mm-hmm. She was in Richmond, which isn't too far from where I am in coastal Virginia. No. I wanted to go, but I didn't get a chance to go because I had something else to do.
Kind of had things going on.
Yeah, I had something else to do that day. But this member of my book club ended up going and met Olivia and was like, oh, you know, I was introduced to your books from the librarian at my library who runs the romance book club that I'm in. And she's a big fan of yours and whatever. And so Olivia Dade says to her, oh, well, where do you live? Not going to say my town here, but this is the town.
Redacted.
She said my town name.
Redacted.
And Olivia said, do you know April?
You like, yeah?
My name.
Yeah.
She said, do you know April? And I said to this woman, I said, shut your mouth. You're lying. And she's like, no. And apparently she told Olivia that I had just been promoted. Olivia said she was so happy for me to tell me that. She
as
said,
one should be, because you've worked your ass off to get this job.
Olivia fucking Dade. I can't even like, I was seriously like, you're lying. But anyway, so that was my really cool story from this past week.
So my story, you're going to be mad and then not mad.
You stopped writing another book, didn't you?
Okay, so the sci-fi novel has been postponed. My brain doesn't want to go there.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. Well, I've been struggling for a while. You know this. Group chat knows this.
Yeah.
Now the world knows this. I wrote that short story a couple weeks ago, and that really started flooding things in. But you're never going to believe what I picked back up.
Is it the romance book with the lawyer?
I'm on chapter 12.
It's the romance book with the lawyer?
Yes. I'm trying not to cry because I'm like 90% sure I have this whole book figured out already.
Yes. So
I'm going to have a full romance novel finished by the end of this year.
That's amazing.
And I'm really proud of myself and I'm fucking crying about it because I have been struggling so hard, guys, with writing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like huge and I'm hearing both of their voices and I'm doing dual POV and it's writing really well and I'm making a lot of chaos for this guy and I'm writing.
I'm really happy. I'm happy that's the one you picked up. The sci-fi one also sounds really good.
Me too. Oh,
I want you to go back to that, but I'm glad you're writing.
I'm just glad I'm writing right now. Mm-hmm. I'm glad.
You never did share the short story with Katie and me.
I didn't edit it.
Oh, you just needed like a palette cleanser.
I needed a palette cleanser. And I really do want to edit it because I think it'll be really fun for the website because mm-hmm. it's just this like quick little fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like less than like 6K, 7K words. Super cute, Pippi. It's about like a rum salesman who can't get this elf to leave him alone.
Why don't you stick it on Kindle Unlimited?
I could. I'd rather share it with our besties, though.
That's fine.
So, let's talk about somebody else's writing. This week, we are talking about Blood of Hercules by Jasmine Moss. Moss? Mass?
Moss.
There's only one S. Moss? But isn't
I'm showing
it like...
off my pretty...
Oh, look at that. The audiobook also, by the way, for those that didn't know, the audiobook has these pages already in it.
How do you have actually pages in the audiobook? I don't understand.
It's a PDF. So like if you open up, I don't have my phone, but if you open up like the structure of the chapters at the top in Audible, it says PDF attachment. And then, like, there's a couple of things.
I listen to it in Hoopla, support local libraries by listening to audiobooks on Hoopla. And
Robert,
I'm not sure.
Have you lost Hoopla?
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. It is very expensive. It is very expensive. But anyway, I read the audiobook on Hoopla, and there are four narrators, which I did not think added anything to the story.
Honestly... By the time you get to any of the new narrators, mm-hmm. you're like, why?
Yeah.
And like, okay, let's do a synopsis and we'll talk about the book and we'll talk about the audiobook in while we're talking about the book.
Okay.
Questions, right, guys? Questions. Here we go. Synopsis. Blood of Hercules follows the life of Alexis Hurt in 2090.
Yeah, 1920. Yeah,
1920. 2090. Life has turned to shit in the human world, and the only saviors are the Olympians and the Spartan warriors. They are treated like celebrities and even have paparazzi that follow them around. Alexis is an orphan with abusive foster parents. When she turns 10, she gets a foster brother, Charlie, and her drive to survive heightens with this. During this... their stay with their foster parents, there is an attack, and mother is killed. When the authorities arrive, Alexis informs them that her father did it and did this to her mother. She and Charlie and her snake Nyx. Oh, by the way, this snake is invisible, and she's the only one that can talk to it. So, you know, mm-hmm. lots of questions there. But now they're both homeless because they got kicked out of the house. And guess what? CPS doesn't care. They don't care.
I have a theory on why CPS doesn't get involved.
Me too. It's that whole...
Let's talk about it after you finish the synopsis.
Okay. So by the time she is 19, she is surviving just so she can take the Spartan test so she can get into a good college. So she can study math and get out of Montana and her brother can be safe. Mm-hmm. Boy, does that backfire. When Alexis finally takes this test and submits her blood in the final part, things start happening quickly.
Yeah.
And she is sent instantly to the Spartan Academy.
Yeah.
Where she's thrown into a battle for her life.
Yep.
As this book goes on, we see her struggle with survival more and more. She's mm-hmm. faced with all sorts of evil. Not only some want her dead, but some also want her. Some people are very evil, but these evil people want her dead, and some want them in their bed. So mm-hmm. let's talk about this book so we can go over every little detail I've missed in the synopsis because it was terrible. It was a hard book to give a synopsis to, guys. I'm not going to lie, without telling this whole story because there's so much in here.
Hmm.
I want to get this part over with first. This book was hella viral.
Yeah.
And the second is about to be released in October.
Yep.
So
I already pre-ordered it.
I'm going to, I think. So did Book Talk finally redeem itself? Can we make up the Book Talk now?
I've read a few things from Book Talk that I have enjoyed, and this is one of them. I was really pleasantly surprised because this book was not marketed on TikTok like it actually was. And so there's my issue with the TikTok of it all, the social media of it all. I thought we were going to be reading a Why Choose with her and four guys. And
that's how it was marketed to me.
Right. And that it was a dark romance. And I don't love dark romance. So in and of itself, I was already like, am I going to like that? But I really do like books based on mythology. And we've actually read a lot of them for Pod. We ended last season with a Helena Troy inspired story.
Right. So
we've read quite a few. And I do like it.
The Match was so good.
Oh, gosh, it was. It's so
such a good book. Anyway.
So I thought going into this that I was going to see, so there were only three male narrators in the audiobook, and I knew there were four male characters that, you know, or I was thought there were four characters that she was going to be involved with. So I made the assumption kind of from the beginning that Achilles was not verbal because he used the sign language and because he has that muzzle. So my guess was that's why he's not a fourth narrator, but these are the three guys. I always have trouble with that word. Something like that. Anyway, there's a lot of historical evidence that he and Achilles were lovers. A story. I mean, you know, that was a story.
Accurate.
Yes. Yeah. And if you've ever read Song of Achilles, that's what it's about. It's about the two of them, which I didn't end up liking that book. But so those two, I assumed were two of her potential partners. I still think that they will become potential partners in the second book.
She's got a lot to wrap up in the second book. I'm tweaking out.
And it's just going to be a duology from what I've seen. But the other two characters, my biggest gripe for this book and the reason that it ended only being 4 stars and not 5, besides the fact that the writing isn't like 5-star caliber, the vibes are possibly there. But my biggest issue was I don't think, and I know this is skipping all the way to the end, and in case you're new to our pod, we give spoilers. So if you don't want spoilers,
welcome to season 9.
Go read the book and then come back. But moving forward, this is going to be a spoiler. I know this doesn't happen until the end of the book, mm-hmm. but her having sex with the other two men,
mm-hmm.
and she enjoyed it, and it, I mean, it was dubious consent. Like, she was forced to marry them, but she never said no. They actually asked her permission to touch her, and she was like, not saying no. She was also not very clearly saying yes. Then she does say yes. But anyway, leading up to that point, I don't mm-hmm. think that they did anything to convince me that she would want that. I mean, there were whole things where he's hot and sure, but even in a dark romance.
We're going to talk about the mentors and the professors later.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like the romance, like the setup of this book led us to that point.
Yeah. There was, that's what I mean. Cause even in a dark romance, like they may be, you know, not the kindest people to her, but there's something there's some attraction there. And I don't know. I actually believe
very asexual, honestly, to me. She came off very asexual to me.
So she came off autistic to me. I think
this yes, was with autism the touch, headed. With mm-hmm. the touch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She loved math, did not want to be touched, did not really form attachments to people. Except
very intelligent.
I felt like it was autism coded, but the one professor who says he's grown quite fond of her, like, I believe him. I think he has, but I don't see that reciprocated.
Yeah.
But yeah. She quite enjoyed fucking them.
Very much so. I mean, but.
And wanted to do it again.
I'll talk about that at the end.
But that was like the very end of the book. So if you think this book is a dark romance and is going to give you spice throughout.
It's not.
It's not.
I laughed more than I was like.
The book is very funny, like intentionally so. It's not that the writing is bad and so it's funny. It's like what was the quote?
I laughed.
A man was speaking, so I of course stopped listening.
There's a couple of quotes in this book that I audibly laughed out loud.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Alexis is an orphan who talks to snakes. I think we've seen this film before, but look, the orphan with secret powers is a common thing to write. Did Jasmine Moss do it well?
I think so. I think the story was original and I think it was different. I don't think it ever fucking explained how she was Hercules. I mean, I get it. So first of all, the actual Hercules myth, and if I'm wrong, I will put it in the notes that I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain that the Hercules myth, Hercules is the son of Zeus.
Yeah.
And a human.
They changed it.
And in this book, she's the daughter of
Hades and Persephone.
And let me just say, there are so many books written about Hades and Persephone because everybody wants to make that a dark romance story. And it really irritates me because they don't understand the story of Hades and Persephone.
That comic book series, Lore?
Yeah.
Really turns that into an abusive romance, and that really like turned me off from Lore. I actually couldn't read them.
Yeah, there's another book, and I can't remember. It's a series, but something with darkness or something. But Katie and I read the first one for our first Smut Girl Summer, and I was like, no,
nah, bro,
no. What I liked about this was, I mean, they never explained the Hercules, which really was for me.
Right.
But I quite enjoyed the way that this mythological system came back into play after essentially the apocalypse of the world.
Pretty much they were waiting their time.
Yeah.
Like they were biding their time till they were needed again.
Yeah. And the Titans being monsters, that's actually accurate. But the thing is the Olympians defeated the Titans. So if the Titans came back, the fuck are the Olympians not just defeating all of them again?
So I like the changes she has done to the orphan story. I think this is original.
I do too.
I gave this a 3.75/4. I'd round up depending on where we stand. There's a lot of things I feel like she didn't explain well. And as a reader, I was like, wait, why does that matter? The Thonic, like how, like they were like very negative about the Thonic houses, even though they didn't explain why the Thonic houses were so negative.
I think that we are supposed to get that from context clues based on like the two first chapters that aren't really connected to the story that explain
it.
It didn't really flesh it out.
It didn't sink to me. Right. Mm-mm. And there was a couple of things like that where I was like, what? And you really do. The author assumes you have a medium amount of knowledge of like Greek mythology.
Yeah.
So that was frustrating. Like if I went into this without zero, like if it wasn't my hyperfixation in middle school, like it was, it wouldn't have been.
I mean,
clear to me.
I used to teach mythology, so.
Right, right.
For so, me.
As for a reader me, that doesn't know that.
Yeah.
I bet this book is really fucking frustrating.
Yeah. Especially if you think you're going into a story that's all I choose and she's just banging these four guys by choice, which is, it's dubious consent in here because yeah. she's forced into a marriage with them, but with two of them. But the other thing is, first of all, I love indie authors. And what I'm going to say too. Is not disparaging or not intending to be disparaging to them at all. But this is another example of an indie author who blew up because of social media and then got traditionally published.
Yeah.
And
she's still I have all read, over TikTok.
Oh, I know.
She's
and I,
still very
and I
active.
Have, and she has another series too as well. And I have read many indie authors.
We have a friend that sent us a beautiful book. That's indie.
Yeah. And I haven't read it yet, but yes, we did. Yeah. And that's my friend Kiera.
We love her.
Yes, we do. But no, I mean, like Amy Award, we read yeah. her. I've read several books in that series so far. I enjoy them.
Same.
But when, and this was a controversy that happened like in the spring as well with the author Amy Dawes, because she went. Yeah. traditionally published. There is something that needs to change between the indie publishing and the traditional publishing to make it more accessible and to make it yeah. clearer. And I can enjoy an indie series. There's an amazing indie series that I don't even know if it's on Kindle Unlimited. I bought them with my first generation Kindle. Okay. I bought them in 2013.
That's a long time ago, guys.
Yes. It's the Bourne trilogy. And I've talked about it on here before. It's post-apocalyptic and I love it. Like it was so good. And I love indie writing. Like I've read a lot of indie. That's great. But this, when it became trad, they needed to do some work to give yeah. us a little bit more substance. Because there were definitely yeah. parts in this book that I was like, this is not relevant, but you need to fill in these holes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And I say all that. And I say all that as somebody that rated this 4 stars.
Imagine if that happened, though. We'd have a 5-star novel here. You know,
100%. But here's the thing. Well, she now has a second book to fill in those gaps.
And I think being that she's going to be traditionally published, we could get some clarity and some cleanness. Could.
Yeah.
I'm not making promises, friends. Not yeah. making promises. So I'm glad we'll talked about those two pre-chapters because that's my next question.
Mm.
In the beginning of this book, we have two pre-chapters. Before we get even into meeting Alexis, this does some set up for history and give us a preview of the laws going to places for gods. But when you first jump into Alexis' story, you're confused as a reader.
Yeah.
Did this placement make sense to you?
No. And I understand what she was trying to do with, like, you know, an intro there. But I didn't know anything about the story. So it didn't make any sense to me.
There was no... Like, they run in, right? And they're like, the law needs to be 25. The law needs to be 25. Like, that's how we're starting.
Yeah.
And they're
yeah.
like, what law? What the fuck are you talking about? Throw this in, yeah. like, after her mom's attacked, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we jump into her being 19 and in high school. It would make more sense to me.
They did a ton of flashbacks in this book, so I don't think it would have been a problem.
Right.
It reminded me.
It just was so weird for me.
Yeah. It reminded me of the beginning of Six of Crows. Now,
I haven't read that.
I love the Grishaverse books.
But I know.
The first book that I read in the Grishaverse was The Six of Crows. I did not know that The Six of Crows was part of a larger series. And the first chapter of that book is a Grisha hopped up on this. It's basically drugs that she's fed. And she ends up going bananas and kills a bunch of people, but the way that she kills them is crazy. She freezes them so they can't move and they just start slowly dying because they can't drink water or eat or move or
sleep. That's torturous. That's
and so
insane.
They fall dead. But that first chapter, I was like, what the
Serenity.
Actual fuck?
That's fucking
is
Serenity.
This?
That's Serenity. That's the whole plot line of Serenity.
I've only seen Serenity once and I don't remember it because I try to block it out and pretend it didn't happen.
Because you run your
You shut your
wash.
Whore mouth. You shut your whore mouth.
Yeah, so I didn't know it was a part of a bigger series, and these intro chapters reminded me of that. Like, I was thinking to myself, is this a spinoff series that I needed to read something else?
Right. Did I miss something?
Yeah.
I, the reader, was very confused.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I have a couple points in this one. This is going to be a long question. I'm sorry. In the first few chapters, we really get into Alexis' childhood, but it's really at a clipped, quick pace. I want to talk about all that happens here. She has the abusive foster parents. She has a stutter. She gets a brother out of nowhere. There's a random attack on mother who dies, and then the children become homeless. With all this in mind, did we need all of these chapters? Could we have just jumped into her being a teenager? What are your thoughts on this?
So here's the thing. The reading experience wasn't necessarily enhanced by those additional chapters, but I felt like it really helped flush her out as a character more.
I think if we would have cut that out, I wouldn't have known her as well.
No, I wouldn't have either. And I think, so this is one of those things that you learn in writing class. I used to teach it to my students who were doing creative writing.
Writing students.
It's show, don't tell. So instead of just telling us that she experienced these things, Jasmine showed us. These are things that happened to her. We didn't just hear, well, my mom was killed by a titan. And we actually kind of get the idea at the end of this book that she was not, in fact, killed by a titan. She was, in fact, killed by Alexis.
In her blood.
Right. But, sorry, guys. Yeah, we've already given the warning. You bitches know. I mean, all of that stuff I felt was necessary. Here is where I was bugged.
Okay.
And it wasn't in those intro chapters. Although, side note, I think both of us were like very confused and texting each other like, were we reading the same book that we thought we were reading? Because we were like, what is this? But here's what bugs me. She's not forthcoming in what happened to her, which is totally her right. It's your trauma. You tell it to whom you feel safe with. And she hasn't found a safe person other than her brother.
Who doesn't speak.
But who doesn't? Well, he does in the end.
Sign language.
No, he speaks in the end. She hears him when she goes back for him. It's the first time she's heard his voice.
I don't remember that part. Anyway.
Okay. Well, anyway, not important. No. But... and now their names fucking escape me. Hang on. The two guys she marries.
Karin and Achilles.
No, Achilles and is not the one. It's Karin and
Ares. Augustus.
Yeah. Ares. It was Ares. Oh no, Augustus. Yeah, that's who it
Augustus
is.
Augustus and Karin.
Yeah. And
Arn. It's Achilles.
And Achilles and
Arn.
Patroclus are the other two guys. But so Karin names, and
by the way.
Augustus realize that she's been injured and that these are old injuries, and we don't get a resolution for that.
No.
And that's what I need to see from book two, because that bugged me. Also the fact that Petra and Achilles were such dicks to her about how soft her life was.
Yeah, like telling humans that they have it easy when they know very well they are being taken care of and the human world is trash was so gross.
It was so gross.
So gross. But I think that was kind of the point.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be out of touch gods. By that point, they fucking were. They fucking were. Okay.
Yeah.
You're 30 minutes in and I'm only on question five. Okay.
Fuck.
By the time, it's totally fine. By the time Alexis is a teen, she's an outcast at school. She has a stutter. We already talked about
this. She talks to an invisible snake. Of course she's an outcast at school.
She's blind in one eye and deaf in one ear. She keeps all of her brokenness to herself. This helps her later in the trials. And her ability to handle pain in the real world helps her also with this. The gods she interacts with constantly comment about how easy her life was on the human world. Why do you think she keeps this to herself instead of shutting them down and telling her how trash her life is? Why keep this to herself? Is it a trust thing? Is it a they don't fucking care thing? What do you think the reasoning?
So I think it's two things. Number one, I'm going to talk about why they think her life is easy. They're living a life where they are forced to fight to the death. They don't have a choice.
Even though they can't die because they're gods.
Well, they can't die if they become Spartans, which they can't do till they're 20 and pass all these things that she, the crucible and all that stuff that she's going through.
Right.
So for them, the human life must be simple. But what I actually think, and really it's just perspective, right? It's they have privilege and they don't see past that privilege. But what I think is the reason that she doesn't tell them is because that is her trauma.
Yeah.
And I don't think she trusts them. And I think that trying to share that with anybody else, when all that has happened to you when you did talk about it was that you continue to be beat down.
Yeah.
Why would you want to talk about it? Yeah. Why would you want to talk about it?
As a chronically oversharer, I tend to explain myself away instead of keeping things to myself. So I'm like, why don't you just tell them, man? Like, that's my brain. Why didn't you just tell them?
I mean, I think that she's going to in the second book.
She has to.
But there's absolutely no way that if my mentors kept telling me I was a piece of shit.
I
was a waste of time. I think they get
really mad that they got a woman to begin with. Yeah. And it's
Some point I would snap back and I would lay all the shit bare, but that's not her way.
Mm-mm. So she's made it through the first battle. Mm-hmm. She's one of the first 20. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made it to now the academy.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you, this author did her research. And by that, I mean boot camp techniques.
Yeah.
Throughout the time at the academy, they're beaten down mentally and physically in ways mm-hmm. worse than any U.S. military I've seen happen. But
yeah, they're not allowed to sleep. So that's no. That's
but
not
the
totally
techniques
the military.
She was writing about
mm-hmm.
are there. They're similar, but they're just more intensified.
Yeah.
Why do you think they do this? Like, I know why they did this because I went through this process. But you, mm-hmm. as a reader that was never in the military, why do you think this is the process for them to turn them into Spartans? Why deprive them? Why beat them? Why do all of this?
Honor. It's the same reason. It's the same reason that in Greek life, people get hazed. You have to prove that you're worthy to be with
us. Prove your worthiness.
Yep. Not just that you paid your dues to be here. You have to be worthy.
You have to be worthy, right? You have to show your strength, integrity, intelligence, because the best of the best are the only that can get in. And that is a valid choice.
Yeah.
So
I don't agree with that because that's hazing, but that's what it is.
It is. So we make it to the symposium
mm-hmm.
and they don't want Alexis to go.
That's not what happens at a symposium, by the way. That's not.
No.
That's not what happens at a symposium.
Don't get it twisted, gang. Alexis is more confident in her place in the academy, kind of. When her instructors, professors try to deter her from going, she says, no.
Mm-hmm.
Even though physically and mentally harm is done to her for this choice,
mm-hmm.
she still goes.
Mm-hmm.
We see this throughout this book. Alexis stands up for herself, even when she doesn't have the words. Mm-hmm. Would you call her a heroine? By this point.
At this point, I would not. I think she is doing her best to... Okay, so think about The War Librarian by Addison Armstrong, which we loved that book. And it was one of the timelines was the first group of women admitted into the Naval Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And the women were wearing high heels with skirts to be in the military.
And to run.
They ran in those heels.
They
not
forced
just
them to run.
Walk. Right. So they kept getting shin splints. And for the longest time, everyone's like, why are these people just bitching and complaining? Well, these women are so weak. And then it was like, oh, this is a medical problem. Like they legitimately probably shouldn't be running in heels. I think it's the same thing here. It's too early to say that she's a heroine. I do think that she will become that. But right now, Right now,
she's just surviving.
She doesn't know who she even is yet. She doesn't even find out that she's actually Hercules until like the last couple hours of the audio pages. Yeah, it's not very much. It's not very much. But her wanting to go to the symposium was not because she knew what happened there. When I hear symposium, I don't think orgy. That's not.
No,
that's so not what happens. Speaking of
the orgy, let's talk about the orgy, shall we?
Oh my gosh!
So we're in the symposium. Things are fine. There's food flowing. We're having a good time. Drinks are everywhere. All of a sudden, the lights go down and it starts to get naughty. Out come the sirens, and they are fully fucking nude. Okay,
naked.
Men, women, all types. Mm-hmm. Black, white, tan, tall, short, long, fat, thin, all of them. Okay, you got all of them. Just all the penises. Got it?
All the penises.
It's a massive orgy.
And okay? vaginas.
People are going at it everywhere, okay?
What did she say? Let the tits and lips fly.
Tips and nips. Tips and, oh, lips and nips. Lips and nips.
Is it lips and nips?
Lips and nips. I was going to text that to you, and I didn't want to spoil it. She goes, let the nips and lips fly.
That is not my motto.
But the reason I bring up this chapter is because we learn in the funniest way possible. Alexis can speak to all kinds of beings. Mm-hmm. The siren, like, starts hysterically crying. Nude.
She doesn't know that she's speaking to all these beings. She didn't know they were speaking a different language. It sounds like her language to her.
Right. So we, for the longest time, believe that this is her only true power. And in the end, we learn something gravely darker and worse for her, right? Yeah. What do you think of her having multiple powers? Do you think in the next book we'll learn she has even more?
I think that's probably going to happen. It's just like Fourth Wing.
She's just increasingly getting more and more powers. She has to be the chosen one, right? Like,
right. But it does make sense because she justifies it in the fact that she can understand creatures, sentient beings and creatures, because Persephone could.
Yeah.
And so, and Persephone's part creature. That's what it was. So,
right.
So that's where she inherited that.
Yeah.
So that's where she inherited that trait from.
Right.
But it made sense why everyone thought she was fucking weird, because she was not talking to Nyx in English. She was talking to Nyx in Snake.
Partial tongue.
Yes.
Speaking of, who, I don't have a question for this, and I'll jump back into our questions. Who do you think Nyx belongs to?
Medusa.
That was my thought. Because of her, I think it's because of her hate for men.
Well, in this story, Medusa is the one that let the Titans out. Yeah. And so she's in prison. Trapped.
Yeah.
And Nyx says, that the person she belongs to is, or that she's tied to, is not around anymore
right now. Yeah.
But my thought with that, the reason she didn't say dead was because the person isn't dead, because my thought would be that after the person you're bonded with died, that you could bond with someone else. Like, I would think
she's not dead. Anybody. I think it's Nyx is going to tell her what happened to Medusa. She's going to save Medusa, and we're going to fix what's broken. Does that make
sense? Medusa's got to be part of it, because she's in the character chart, and she's only mentioned like this much.
And why would... Yeah, anyways, we'll get it. We're wasting time. I'm wasting time. I don't know. Am I? I want to talk about Charlie now. Okay? We're a mess. I love it.
Oh my god!
Welcome back to season 9.
You'd think we'd be more professional. We've actually been called professional at this point.
We are. I mean, I have 15 questions. This is a really hard book to write questions for, guys. Charlie isn't a large character in this book, but he is mentally for, you know, Alexis. Mm-hmm. He's always in the back of Alexis's mind. Mm-hmm. How he arrives and how he becomes a part of her life, and for Charlie, while he isn't a large character in this book physically, mentally he's always in the back of the mind of Alexis. How he arrives and how him being in her life seems to have helped her stay alive several times. Do we think the fates have more in store for us when it comes to Charlie?
Yes. Do you want me to explain or do you want me to just say yes? No. Okay. I kind of called it from jump when the woman came and dropped Charlie off that he wasn't human.
Yeah.
And when that is confirmed later, which I'll circle back to in a second, but further proof of this was when nobody from CPS came to collect them.
Yeah.
They came to collect the trailer, but nobody from CPS came to collect
them. They literally said, they were like, you guys can't stay here anymore. It's a crime scene. You got to go.
Yeah.
And they're like, where the fuck are we going to go? And the guy's like, I don't know. Get out.
He said CPS will be for you shortly, but they never came because there's no record of either of them. Mm-mm. That's my thought. There's no record of either of them. They were dropped off. And then the confirmation comes. And then the confirmation comes that the woman who dropped Charlie off at the front door is the same woman who marries Alexis to Augustus and Aries.
She's also at the She's also at the end of the first battle. She comes up to Alexis and puts her hand on her face and she goes, the fates have something in store for you, my love.
Karen. Yes. She shows up again. It's definitely foreshadowing that he's a god too.
I think she might be one of the three, the fates that share the eye. You know what I mean?
You could be.
I think she's one of them. I think she's one of them.
And we know, well, we don't know until like the very end that what happened was there was an attack by the Titans and nobody thought Hercules survived. So right. I think in book two, we'll get what happened.
The story of what happened to her. I'm not sure how to put this into a question, but I've saved space here. I want to talk about our mentors and the professors. I feel like there's more going on in this book with both sets of men.
Yeah.
Both duos.
Yeah.
But the author didn't put it in the pages. Do you feel like we're going to get that flushed out in book two?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you because I do think it's there. I think it's in the text.
Okay.
So you've got her mentors.
Petra, I think I need to read it again.
And Achilles.
Yeah.
And Petra and Achilles, they're lovers. And
They're bisexual. Both of them are openly bisexual.
I think it was implied. They're madly in love
with each other.
I think it was implied that everyone in this
is bi.
Is bi.
It is. It's just freely everybody fucks everyone now.
Yes.
Because that's what the gods do. So it's cool.
Yes. So Petra actually says to her, thank you for not like hitting on him because people know that we're bi and they don't like acknowledge the fact that we're a couple, but we actually get a kind of semi steamy scene where she's watching them and he's giving head to Achilles. And
oh yeah, we get several times where she's like hearing them doing things.
Yeah. But that time, it kind of awakens something in her where she says, like, Nyx, I think I sort of understand what you mean by like the viciousness is kind of sexy. Because it was rough sex that they were having.
It was.
Then at the symposium, those two also fuck there and they like look at her while they're doing it. So I think it's well established that they're a couple, and the way that the book ends, they want to go get her. Like, she's theirs.
Yeah, they
want to They want her too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of said earlier and Achilles like tells him like, no, we're not going to say this, brah. But he tries to say, we don't usually want to bring someone else in, but with you. And Achilles
it's like comfortable with you.
But when it comes when it comes to Augustus, I think that it's established that they enjoy having a shared partner, but not that they necessarily have sex with each other. And that's what they saw.
Polyamorous.
Yes. Like, they want to have a three-way, but they don't want to cross dicks.
I get it. They don't want a sword fight. It's fine.
Yeah. And that's what happens when they have sex with Alexis. They are
sword fighting.
Well, they Eiffel Tower her at one point,
I know.
Too.
I know. Alexis is obsessed with Carl Gauss, the German mathematician.
I didn't even know who that fucking was.
She uses him for a pillar for all men throughout this novel.
Tis the tism.
Thoughts? Tism? Moving on.
I mean, that's the only thought that I can have. I thought it was autism coded. I don't know. I don't care about math or mathematicians.
I don't either. So. This book is book talk, and book talk is sold as a why choose. I don't really see it until we're at the very end.
I still don't see it.
Do you think you could defend this definition right now?
No.
I couldn't either.
I couldn't. I can't even defend that it's reverse harem. She's enjoying having sex with the two of them. She was a virgin, which I have thoughts on that whole, like, protect her virginity, protect her honor, which
is the whole bunch of religious
trauma that I don't want to get into right now. But
And then her and Helen at the end, they have to get married now because their nipples were seen. It's a whole thing.
That's a whole thing. No, I don't want to go down that road. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like she's like being with both of them because she wants to be in a polyamorous relationship. She got married into this relationship. I think in book two, we're going to have to, a score is going to have to be settled. She's either going to have to decide that she enjoys being with them and she's choosing to be there.
Right.
So the why choose element would be, I'm choosing both of them. Why choose between them? The choice she needs to make is, am I going to be with these multiple men or am I going to not be with
anyone? Am I picking this couple of men or this couple of men?
It's never even established that she masturbated. Like, it, she doesn't like being touched. She's never had sex with a man or a woman. I'm telling
you, asexual.
I mean, but asexual people can have sexual desires and urges. Right. And not necessarily feel like attraction.
Right.
But to me, the fact that it's not even disclosed that she had masturbated, but she, one of them is like going down on her and she like talks about her clit and things like that. Girl, what kind of virginal woman who has never masturbated would even really know what her clit was?
The writer. Writer be writing, man.
I mean, let me tell you, as someone that grew up in the Christian purity culture, a clit is never discussed. It's all P and V.
Penis,
vagina.
This book had me laughing out loud several times. Is there any lines that stuck with you?
Yeah, the one that was a man was talking, so I stopped listening.
There was one I text Katie in you. I can't remember. Mine was free the nips and lips as well. That was hilarious. I found myself laughing out loud several times at this novel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jasmine, you can write a funny scene.
I like when she was like overtaken by sleep and the meditating. And she would just be like, you say it, sister, to like the guys.
Yes. Her sleep. Her exhaustion and her sleep and like, yeah, fucking right. Doggy. Like, she's just very much dead to the world. It's hilarious. Okay. Yeah.
It's really
final funny. Thoughts. Did I miss anything? This book was a lot. I know we missed a lot, but what?
But I don't think we did. I think we covered all that was important. The only thing we didn't really talk about is how dangerous the competition was, her school
was. Her parents, which I don't want to really dive into those spoilers because I really think you need, because that's really at the end of the book.
Well, we already said who their parents were. But the other thing is, we didn't talk about the bullying that she faced from her classmates, her peers. Right. And then when they decide that she's getting notoriety, then they all want to fuck her.
Right.
Which, by the way, Petra and Achilles deciding that the best way for her to win is to just fuck everybody in her class is so insane, but I can 100% believe that that would happen.
Okay, so I want to do, I have one story about perception because of the comments that she got in there. Mm-hmm. So in boot camp, women, there's a scene in this novel where she is being talked at by one of her male co-pending Spartans, okay? And the teacher goes, stop flirting and look back at your page, Alexis.
Mm-hmm.
This actually happened to me in boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy tap on my shoulder. Now, rule number one is you're not supposed to speak. No one speaks to you. You don't speak to them, especially in week one or two. I had a guy tap on my shoulder and I turned to see what he wanted. My CC comes in and goes, Johnson, why are you flirting with him? You didn't come to the Coast Guard to get a husband. Because of that, I got reverted for a week. Perception is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah.
So don't ever forget it. Okay. Let's talk about what's next week, friends.
Next week, we are reading this book, Binding 13 by Chloe Walsh. This is a special edition with the pink sprayed edges from Barnes & Noble. This is technically a YA book, but these books are very heavy. And in my library, we do not have them in YA. We have them in the adult section. But this is the first book in the Boys of Tommen series. And it's got rugby and trauma and romance. So that's where we are. Rugby, trauma, and romance.
I mean, I do love Alona Mar very much.
Yeah, I know you do.
Very much.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to read next week. It is a thick daddy. So it I need to fucking finish Zom-Rom-Com so I can read this book.
It is a bad mamma jamma.
Yeah. All right, besties, this season of Book Besties is proudly sponsored by Carpe Librum.
The only.
The one and only Carpe Librum. Bookish things for bookish people. So keep checking our social media and listening all season long for special perks and merch that you can get using discount codes.
Did you know what I learned? Did you know what I learned?
What?
They make one of the coolest freaking bookmarks on the market.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
They have a 13-step process that is like a propriety to them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen them on the knockoffs on Amazon. They fall apart. Oh,
I have some knockoffs and they dent your book. So, so I haven't had a chance to check their bookmarks out yet, but I have
four
of their shirts. They're very comfy. They're all size inclusive. I love their shirts. They do not shrink. They're made here. They're made at their home shop. They screen print by hand.
My favorite part of their shirts is it looks like I could get tetanus from the typewriter that they use to make the font.
There's definitely like a real gritty and authentic feel to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's what I want. Right. Like I want to feel like an old man is going.
As a librarian.
Because I'm a bookish person.
Right. We're both bookish people for sure. As a librarian, I wear these shirts to work and I get compliments on them all the time. So if you want your own cool shirts, go to beawesomereadbooks.com. And for the month of September, you can use the code HELLOBESTIES to save free shipping on your order.
Shut up, free shipping?
Free shipping. Your girl loves free shipping.
Say,
I will to get free shipping.
I will pay that extra $10. All right, besties.
You use the code. The shirts are really high quality. They will not shrink. They are size.
Tag us on the socials when you buy it.
XL. Yes, please. Yeah,
we can't wait to see them, guys. All right.
All season long, we'll have deals for you.
All season. Well, that's it, guys. We'll see you guys. Same bat time, same bat channel next week.
Sounds good. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views of us here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Carpe Librum, the shop that has the bookish things for bookish people. And right now, you can get free shipping by using the code HELLOBESTIES, which is good for the month of September. Today's book was Blood of Hercules by Jasmine Moss. Your Book Besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. You can support Book Besties by joining our Patreon at Book Besties Podcast. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite books.